Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Today, we continue our series, Hug It Out, learning the hard lesson of embracing the goodness of God even when life is bad. So I'm going to give you the title of my message. I usually wait a little bit, but I want to jump right in for time's sake. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Part three, here's the title, Wait For It. That's the title. Wait for it. Come on, somebody say wait for it. Now you gotta say it with like some suspense, right? It's like wait for it. All right, so come on the count of three. One, two, three. Wait for it. You gotta wait for it. It's like going to a Marvel movie nowadays, and the movie's over, and the end credits begin to roll, and you get your movie buddy, and they have no clue what they're doing, and they start to get up, and you arm bar them like your mama used to do when she slammed on her brakes in the minivan growing up. Like, you just arm bar them, and you say, wait for it. Why do you say wait for it? Because something good is coming, a secret end credits scene. You're gonna find out what's happening next, and that's our title today, and really that's the mindset today, because God is looking at Habakkuk, the prophet we've been talking about. The book is by his name in the Bible, the fifth to the last book in the Old Testament. This is what God's saying today as we read here in a moment to Habakkuk. He's telling him, wait for it. Now maybe you're wondering, like, what is God talking about? This is my first week. Literally everything that Habakkuk has been praying for, God is saying, wait for it. In fact, let's pick up in that spot, Habakkuk chapter 2, starting in verse 2. If you've got a copy of God's word with you, I want you to turn there. You got a Bible app, I want you to turn there, flip there. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. This is a verse-by-verse study through this tiny book in the Old Testament. There's only three chapters, so we're midway here. But chapter 2, starting in verse 2, and today I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. That's my favorite translation of all the different translations. So I'm going to read out of the New King James. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, we're going to see God looks at Habakkuk and he says, wait for it. Starting in verse 2. Then the Lord answered me. So this is Habakkuk speaking. This is his private journal entry here. And said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. He's not talking about an iPad, by the way, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. That's important. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Verse 5, indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man. He does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell. That's not a good thing if you haven't caught on. And he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Now, don't close your Bible. Don't exit out of your app, okay? Stay right there. Just hit pause for a brief moment. Over the next several verses, all the way to almost the end of chapter 2, God shares five woes of judgment over the Babylonians, the bad guys, if this is your first week with us. And really, it's not just for the Babylonians, it's anybody that falls into these categories. God is saying there is judgment coming. And so I'm not going to read all these verses. I'm going to give you the highlights, all right? So here's the five woes that you would read if you kept on going. Starting in verse 6, woe number 1. Woe to him who piles up stolen goods. God is saying that people that steal, judgment is coming. Woe number 2, verse 9. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain. For the cheaters, God's saying judgment will come. Verse 12, third woe. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed, somebody who's bent on violence. Woe number 4, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors. He's talking about alcohol, immorality, getting drunk. Woe number 5, verse 19. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life. Well, what does that mean? He's talking about idol worship. that you'd worship anything other than God, whether it's a statue or a little Buddha or whatever, that worshiping anything besides God is wrong and judgment is coming. And so you got to get this, because most pastors won't talk about this side of God, but we're going to talk about it because God's word talks about it. So let me give you a very important sentence now after hearing those five woes. With God in his absolute holiness and in his righteous judgment, he says people like this will face consequences. It will happen. It's just a matter of time. Make no mistake about it. Righteous judgment is coming. God makes it crystal clear here that if you fall in one of those categories, judgment is coming for you. And then we end chapter 2 in verse 20. And God pivots as he's talking to Habakkuk and really to us. God pivots and he now talks about himself. He talked about the judgment. Now we get to verse 20, and then we'll pray. Chapter 2, verse 20, New King James Version. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Just think about the compare and contrast here. Let all the earth keep silence before him. What is he saying? I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm holy. I'm righteous. And justice will come. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and I thank you for what you're doing through this series, Hug It Out. I thank you for what you're doing as you bring to light so many powerful truths from the book of Habakkuk, from the prophet, the man of God who had questions. And God, I'm so thankful that as a church, we don't just do this thing or we just jump around, but often a part of our rhythm, we pick a book prayerfully and we go through it verse by verse so your word can be preached how it needs to be preached, Lord. And so I just pray that as we look at his life and also as we look at our life, God, that you would speak to us. I've just got a few minutes here, but I pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk out of this room or to log off online being changed by your word, that God, we would apply your word to our life, because not only are your words impactful for Habakkuk, but they are impactful for us. So may you do a deep work. May you move in a mighty way, and may we receive everything that you have for us. We love you, and we pray all this. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is going to be a sweaty sermon, I can already tell. All right. Over the next few moments, just real quick, I want to give you a few takeaway truths from the text, okay? And I think they'll really help. And so if you're going through some stuff, take notes today. If you're not going through some stuff, take notes today, all right? Because it's going to help you. I really believe that it's helping me. Number one is this. We see here that vision gives pain a purpose. If you're in some pain, write this down. If you're not in some pain, pain's coming. Spoiler alert, write this down. Vision gives pain a purpose. I want to read verse 2, but now out of a paraphrase, the message. And then God answered, write this, write what you see, write it out, I love this, in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. You see, when God speaks and when God promises, you should write it down. I'll remember that. No, you won't. You should write it down. You can't remember my last message, y'all. And guess what? Neither can I. Okay, so let's just move on here. But you should write it down. Write it down. Record it. Document it. Put it on a sticky note, y'all. Write it on your bathroom mirror. Put it in Evernote. Turn it into a wallpaper on your phone. God says, Habakkuk, do you have a pen? Because you're going to need one for what I'm about to say. Well, not just that. Actually, grab a hammer and a chisel and write this down. Why does God say this? Like, why? Why does he talk about the medium here? Because God doesn't just say write it down. God says put it in stone so it will last. Not just that, but God says make it clear. It doesn't need to have 14 paragraphs. Make it a sentence or two, big, bold, block letters. You want this to be clear. I love this. So that anyone who runs by it or anyone who runs with it can read it or shout it easily. and people get the message. God cares about the medium used as he writes down the vision from God. And here's maybe why. Clear vision of a brighter future gives current pain a purpose. Gives current pain a purpose. God is looking at Habakkuk, friend, and honestly, I believe he's looking at many of us here today, including the guy on the microphone, and he's saying this: what I'm about to tell you, what I'm about to show you, it's not just for you. It's going to help you, but you're to share it with others so it can help them. It's called a testimony, friend, that God doesn't just do something in you. God does something in you and then through your life if you let him. It's a sweaty message today. I got spit going everywhere. It's messed up here. I'm sorry, babe and dad. I love y'all, but y'all in the spit zone on the front row. He's saying that you're hurting and you need help. But when I help your hurt, it's so you can help other people's hurts. What I'm doing in you can be done for others if you allow me to give you a vision, if you allow me to give you a word, write it down, document it, big, bold letters, hold on to it because you will forget it because life gets tough. And as you hold on to it, you'll eventually share it with others and they'll be inspired by the work God has done in you. And then God will do a work in them. Am I preaching to anybody today? God's saying my vision for your life gives your current pain a purpose. It gives it a purpose. So let's make it practical. For those of us in the middle, and I'm in the middle, you're in the middle, many of us, like what I mean by the middle, I mean like things aren't how you want them to be. You're holding on to a promise. You're not who you used to be, but you're not where you want to be. You're in the middle. You're holding out for a miracle. If you're in the middle, let's make it practical. If you're in present pain, you need to begin to get God or ask God to give you a vision, to ask God for a vision for your situation. Ask God for a vision for your life. Well, that's risky, Pastor. There's no other way to live the Christian life than to risk. Okay? You got to ask God for a word. Ask God for a vision. I'm not saying flip through the Bible, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and put your finger down. That's dangerous. That's not risky. That's dangerous. Okay? I'm saying you get on your knees before God with no one looking, and you say, God, you see my life. You see the pain. I need a promise from you. I need a word from you. I want to hear from you. And then you take time to listen. And when God, I'm trying to help somebody. When God speaks, he will. When he speaks, you write it down. Big, bold letters. You hold on to it. That way nobody can come against you and say, oh, that was just a bad pizza the night before. You weren't in my prayer closet. You weren't in my room. You weren't on that walk. God showed up and he spoke to me. It's right here. Vision is the bridge between the present and the future. You got to get a vision from God. Vision gives pain a purpose. And those without vision spend their entire lives taking the path of least resistance as they try to avoid discomfort. And let's just be honest, that's some of us today. The goal in life is to be comfortable. Bigger house, better car, more vacations, this thing, that thing. Got to have my Snuggie with me too. I'm like, I want to be comfortable. Want to be comfortable. And you can read the Bible cover to cover, throw the maps in if you want. And you will never see a place where God says that's the goal. And you will never see a place where God promises you comfort. Now, God did say that the Holy Spirit is the comforter who will comfort us. But comfort is not your goal or your job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And I got to tell you something, I love you so much, but you play a really bad Holy Spirit. You do. So stop trying to do his job and start trying to get a word from God. Hold on to the word, follow the word, act in the word, be obedient in the word, and live the life God has called you to live. Vision gives pain a purpose. The path of least resistance is not the life of a believer. I have more to say, but time is not allowing me. Number two, here's a second takeaway truth. Hope you'll jot this down. It's all about the timing. And I don't like this point either, okay? So I'm right there with you. I can sit right next to you. We can hang out and be friends because this is not fun, but it's real. It's all about the timing. Verse 3, but out of the Message paraphrase, this vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It's ahead. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait for it. It's on the way. It will come right on time. How does God answer Habakkuk? He says, I'll come through, but not in the way you want me to, in my way. I'll come through, but not according to your watch, according to my timeline. He's saying, you need to wait for it. Wait for it. Isn't it so true? Like, let's just get real. Like, isn't it so true that in our lives, God is never late, but he's also never early? Like, isn't that true? Like, can anybody testify that that's true? Like God has never beat me to the punch on something, man. Like, it's just, he never late, but he's never early either. This is the real steps of faith. Now, I don't know everything about God, but I do know this. In our instant world, with instant streaming and access to thousands of movies and TV shows on streaming apps like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney Plus. Have you seen Baby Yoda? We got all these different streaming things. In that world, with all our instant access to on-demand programming with no commercials, I've learned that God isn't all about the instant stuff like we are. We love it. You can ask my wife. I moan when I got to watch something with commercials now. We are so spoiled. So spoiled. And that's my reality, and that's probably your reality, but it's not God's reality. He's not about instant. He's about stuff that lasts. Stuff that's meaningful. I'll say it to you this way. Let's use the scripture. God is about appointed time. You know, back in the day, and I know I'm not old, but I'm old enough to remember this. Back in the day before VCRs, scheduling, when it came to TV shows or movies, it was appointed viewing. You had to be in front of a TV at the exact time that it came on. And even once VCRs were invented, nobody knew how to use them properly to record. Am I right? You'd record the wrong thing at the wrong time. You'd have all those lines going through. Like, it was not fun. Like, some of us think TiVo has always been. No, it has not always been. And so it was appointed viewing. You had to be there at that moment. And this is the type of life God is talking about. Specific appointed time where God says, this is the moment. This is the time. And if you think about it, when it comes to our life, even though we love instant, the best things in life are actually this way. The best things in life, just think with me. The best things in life, they're better when there's a slow burn, when there's a buildup. If you can't think of an example, let me give you two. Think about a baby. Like it don't happen overnight, y'all. Like, it takes 9 months. Now, there's somebody in this room, I won't say their name, but they wish it took 6 months instead of 9. You can maybe catch where I'm going here, but I'm going to move on because I didn't ask for permission to tell that joke. So anyways, if you're like, first time here, you have no idea what I'm talking about. We'll catch you up later. But 9 months, that's a long time. That's bun in the oven. But for those in this room and those in our church that you've gone the long haul of adoption, you know that it's not just 9 months. Sometimes it's years that process. The best things in life, they take time. They are not instant. Here's a second example. Think about food. Like, we love our instant rice, and we love our hot pockets, and we love our instant this and that, and we do noodles in our house. We're not in college anymore, but ramen is cheap, and it's quick. And so we've got instant everything. But how many of y'all know you can roll up to a fast food drive-thru, and it takes you 2 minutes or less to get your burger, and that's okay, but how many of y'all know we'd rather wait 30 minutes for your filet mignon to be brought out, especially if somebody else is paying. You know what I'm talking about? The best things in life take time. God is about appointed time, his time. And so this is what I felt today. As I woke up here and I was praying for you, here's what I felt. Some of you, you don't have to get to the point where you love this, but you got to get to the point where your soul rests in this. That it's God's time. It's God's time, the right time. Somebody's got to hear this. There is no fast forward in life. There's no skip. I wish we had skips in life. But there's no skip. There's no next episode with God. It's all about the timing. One pastor put it this way. I love this, but I cannot claim it. I stole it from somebody else. Here's what he said. If it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it's God's time, you can't stop it. Isn't that good? Tony, come help me close this thing out here. Someone's got to hear this before we move on to point number three. God's delays are not God's denials. It's his appointed time. It's his appointed time. Here's the last takeaway, and then we're going to pray. Number three, and this is not new information, but again, you got to get where you can rest in this. Number three, God's saying to Habakkuk, God's saying to us, live by faith, not by sight. It's not new, I know, but you got to rest in this. Live by faith, not by sight. Verse 4, a message paraphrase again. Look at that man. God is speaking, bloated by self-importance, full of himself, but soul empty. But the person in right standing before God, by the way, that's what righteousness means. Right standing before God. Through loyal and steady believing is fully alive. Really alive. And if you've been with us since week one, you'll remember that this point is the key. It's the Rosetta Stone for the entire book of Habakkuk, but also the entire Bible. This is how man, us, this is how we deal with God. By faith. By faith. And even in our greatest efforts, we can never take faith out of following Jesus. It isn't just important, hear this. It is necessary. Well, why do we need faith? Here's why. Faith is just a fancy Bible word for trust. That you would trust God with your life. That you would trust God with your eternity. That you would trust God with the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's not just important, it's necessary, it's essential. How are we saved? What does the Bible tell us? It's grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8. What does Hebrews 11 verse 6 say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can I look at you in the eyes here right now in this moment? Do not phase me out. It's time you trust God. I'm not talking about a Christianity revolved around Americanism and all this kind of stuff. And some people call themselves American Christians. How could you ever put anything in front of Christ? It's God before country. I'm not talking about a flippant faith. I'm talking about the kind of faith where you'd say, God, I trust you. God, I care for you. God, it's your way and not my way. I didn't say this last week, but I'll say it this week. God is not a nicotine patch, y'all. You just slap him on for a quick fix. He is so much greater. He is so much holier than that. Y'all know we do it. Lost my job. Slap that patch on so I can get that spiritual high for a moment. Did you know that's when people reach out for a counseling session when everything is going to hell in a handbasket? I don't even know what that phrase means, but I heard it before. And it's just like everything is falling apart. I told y'all, sweaty, messy sermon today. You're like, today? That's every day. Anyways. But everything's falling apart. And that's when we want, I'm going to slap on the patch. And can I tell you something? Like, God loves you in every season, in every way. You can come to him when life is falling apart. But for the true followers of Jesus, like, he's not a nicotine patch. He's not a supplement you take just when you're hurting. You're all in all day. It's either all Jesus or it's no Jesus. He is the one for you. You schedule that counseling session when all hell breaks loose. Like, we'll set it, we'll pray together. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a deeper walk that God has for you through the highs and through the lows, through the questions and through the answers. So by faith and not by sight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. I had more to say, but God, I'm feeling good about stopping right here. And I just pray, Lord, that whatever you need to speak right now, Holy Spirit, you would speak. And maybe it's one of the 3 points. Maybe it's something that I said even just by accident, seemingly, but you used it, whatever it is, something I didn't even say, but you used a word to spark something else and you spoke something unique. Whatever you need to do, God, but I pray that Holy Spirit, you would speak right now exactly what they need to hear. Seal it in their soul right now. It doesn't matter to me what it is as long as it comes from you. Seal it right now. Come on, don't be distracted. Don't make noise. You're not packing up. We're almost done. Let the Holy Spirit, God Himself, seal on your heart. In every message, you can receive something from God. I don't care how spiritual you are. You may know a million more things than I do, but it's not about me speaking to you. It's about the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So be open right now. Let Him speak to you. This is not a word for your spouse. It's not a word for your friend or your neighbor, somebody in front of you or behind you. Right now in your heart, right now in your soul, Holy Spirit, speak individually. Seal the deal. God, we're going through pain. There's so many of us. We are in the middle and we need a vision from you. We need a word from you. We need a promise from you. May you speak to our hearts right now. Not audibly, but in our soul. May you speak. It's a vision from you who gives our current pain a purpose. We're in the middle. We're not who we used to be. We're not where we want to be. We're in the middle. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed across this place. No one distracting, please. As the Holy Spirit speaks exactly what you need to hear. If there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice in this room or watching, listening online, and you're far from the Lord, maybe you're here and you're like, all that stuff's great, Pastor, you're talking about, but I'm not at that point because I'm not even following Jesus. Maybe you're here and the Holy Spirit's convicting you. He's drawing you unto yourself. He's pointing out some things in your life that don't line up with God's word, that don't line up with God's ways. And the reason why the Holy Spirit's doing that right now is not to condemn you, but to draw you. Not to push you away, but to draw you close. You see, all of us, including the guy on the microphone, our sin, it separates us from holy God. It puts up a wall. It puts up a barrier between us and Him. And the way for that wall to be knocked down, the way for that sin to go away is not by your works, not by your perfect church attendance, not by your serving or your giving. Way for that wall to be knocked down, a way for that sin to be wiped away is only because of Jesus and what He did for you on the cross. The only way it can go away is through His sacrifice. Jesus gave it all for you. For you. You're on His heart, you're on His mind. Wasn't nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It's His love for you. His love for you. And all you have to do is surrender to have a fresh start with Him. And every single week, we give people the opportunity to dedicate their heart to the Lord, to surrender all. Not a supplement, not an add-on, but Jesus, I give you all, every part of me, past, present, future, the good and the bad. So if you're here today and you're far from the Lord, if you're here today and you feel the Lord drawing you unto Him, I want to give you a chance to respond. I'm not going to make you stand. We're not going to usher you off anywhere. But right where you're seated, I want to lead you in a prayer. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around but me. If you're here today and you want to dedicate your heart to the Lord, you want to surrender your full life to Him, Would you raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down once it's up. Thank you. Respond online as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep those eyes closed. I'm going to ask those that raised your hand in this room and also online to repeat this prayer, a prayer of surrender to Jesus, a prayer of dedication to the Lord. But you're not going to say it out loud alone. There's going to be a whole bunch of people following Jesus that are going to say it out loud with you. Say this out loud after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. You are not an add-on. You are not a supplement. Jesus, right now, I give you all. I give you everything. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I give you my future. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, even in the pain, even in the hurt, even in the middle, help me to follow you, to live for you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.